Good morning. Welcome to Westminster today. It's great to see all of you, whether you are a first-time visitor or a long-time member here or anything in between. We're so glad you're here. To make sure we know who all is here, let's be sure to sign in with the friendship pad at the end of your pew so we can have a record of your attendance today. Let's take a look at the back of our bulletins. You can see all of the things happening in the life of the church today and in the upcoming week. A few special notes for you. One, we have the communion reception right after worship today. For youth, no youth group this evening. University students, there is a Wolf Fall event at the Sandersons this evening starting at 5 with dinner at 6:30. On Tuesday, we have Theology on Tap, and we're going to meet at 7 p.m. at La Coretta. Also, a special note about the Psalter that we do in the midst of our worship service this morning. Congregation, you are going to sing the first two responses and speak the last two. Also, we have some bulletin inserts. We have one about Advent poinsettias, and then something about 10,000 villages, and I think Terry Mooring had more to say. There's Terry. Yes.
This is so important and so close to time that I'm coming up here so I have everybody's full attention. Read that insert. It has the dates. But this is, I'm just going to say what I read because you know me, I'll be up here longer than Steve if I don't just read what I say. On Friday and Saturday, November 17th and 18th, we're once again hosting the Fair Trade International Market or 10,000 Villages. You have the hours on here. I'm happy to tell you that this year we will have lots of new items and several one-of-a-kind gift ideas, so please tell all of your friends about it. Take this insert, if you will, please, to an appointment with you or to a friend or to a restaurant or a store that has bulletin boards and put this up. I want this to be all over town because people are used to us doing this, but we're a little bit late getting advertisement out, so I really need all of your help to get that done, please. We will be unpacking the boxes on Thursday, November 16th at 9 a.m., and if you can come to help us, let me know. The rule is that if you come to help unpack the boxes, you get first choice of what's in them, okay? So if you have special gifts that you need to get for somebody, this is the time to do it. Also, we still need a few shopper helpers on Friday evening and Saturday, and let me know if you can help us to do either one of those times, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry. Do we have any other announcements?
I've got a two. I'll try to be brief with you, Terry.
All right. Well done. Do we have any other announcements? Johnny. Yes, and we had great donations for Hope for diapers and baby food, so thank you also for that. Any other announcements? Yes.
Today's Sally Newton's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Sally. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Then let us prepare our hearts to worship Almighty God. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised.
Please join me in the call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Eternal God, we thank you for the gifts of music and song through which your church offers its praise, thanksgiving, confessions, laments, prayers and petitions. Enable us to sing in one voice as your gathered people and to join in harmony with all the saints in heaven and on earth to worship you, the giver of all good things. By your grace, may the words and melodies shape our faith for years to come and forever give glory to you, the triune God. Amen. Be seated. In Romans 5:8, we read, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. As long as we are bound to this earth, we will never comprehend the amazing love and grace of God, who in Christ died for the sins of the world. However, we do understand that for our own benefit, we must be willing to confess our sin, and therefore I invite you to join me in a time of confession, beginning with a prayer found in the bulletin. Holy One, Holy Three, you call all who dwell on earth to follow you, singing songs of praise. We confess, however, that your song has been silenced within us. We are unwilling to sing new songs or to embrace sisters and brothers whose songs are different from our own. We sing as we live, as if pleasing ourselves were even more important than pleasing you. Forgive us, cleanse our hearts of all that stifles your voice within us. Join our songs with your whole church, so then all that we sing, speak, or do, we may act in your glory, not our own. Please read with me the assurance of pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Because God showers us with love and grace, let us now return our tithes and offerings to God.
Thank you.
loving God, your matchless grace shown to us in the person of Jesus Christ far exceeds what we are able to give. However, we pray you will receive what we have and that you will bless it, multiply it, and then use it for your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Almighty God, we give thanks that your word is eternal. Your truths do not change, and you are ever faithful. May we hear your word, respond to it, and allow it to lead us in your ways. By your Holy Spirit, help us to remember what you would tell us this day. And understanding your laws, may we be saved from living careless lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Psalter today is Psalm 98, and your response the first two times will be sung to the tune of Holy Manna. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the waters clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy.
At the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Our scripture reading is from Mark.
Box, the box.
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread. And after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
And now it's time for the kids to come down for Time for Young Disciples.
Hi.
Hey. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. So, oh, here's some more. One more. Come on up. Go sit here. Perfect. Okay. So, what did we celebrate last week? There was Halloween. What did you dress up as, Kate? You were Wonder Woman. What were you, Wyatt? And what were you? Did you dress up?
I was a clown.
You were a clown. A good clown? Not a scary clown. Good. Okay. And what were you dressed up
as?
Red Riding Hood. Oh, I love that idea. All right, so the next day after Halloween, though, is another holiday, and it's called All Saints Day. And in church, what we do is we celebrate all the saints the Sunday after that day. But I was wondering, what is a saint? Do you know what a saint is? Have you heard that? What were you saying, Wyatt? Oh, well, yeah, football team. This is true. That is a true answer. What is just one saint? We could say that a saint is a really good person. We could say that. We could say that a saint is someone who loves God and shows God's love to other people. And there are lots of people we've called saints throughout all of history for many, many years. Like there's Saint Paul. He wrote some letters that are in our Bible, and they tell us how much God loves us. And he went around the world telling people how much God loved them. And then, let's see, there's Saint Francis. Have you heard of Francis? Saint Francis? He loved animals, and he was really kind to animals and treated them really well. And then there's a more recent one. Have you heard of Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa. Okay. Well, she's a saint, and she was very kind to people who were poor, and she helped them, especially the poor in India. We also have a saint in our congregation, and we're going to hear her name later in the service. And her name is Sarah Rogers. Did you ever get to meet Miss Sarah? I didn't get to meet her, but I heard that she was a wonderful person, and she was very loving, and she made everyone feel welcome and God's love. And there's also a saint in this box. There's a saint in the box. Yeah. So I want us to look and see. We'll go one by one. Who do you see in there?
Me.
You see, okay. What do you see?
Me.
Yeah. What about you? What do you see?
Me.
You see yourself? What about you?
Me.
All right. So congregation and choir, there's a mirror in this box. So we each see ourselves as saints. And that's because we are saints. God loves us, and God calls us to do special things in this world and to share God's love with others. So just remember, you are saints today. And now we know that that's a word in addition to the football team. So let's pray together. Loving God, thank you for saints. Thank you for the people that teach us and lead the way in the faith and help us to show your love to others and to share the faith with other people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Please be seated. That's a hymn we have not sung very often in this church, but I do appreciate the way it talks about music leading us to a new profound. The gift of God's music to us allows us to express our faith, learn about our faith, but just able to do something I can't put into words. But this morning I want to tell you about a very close friend that I have known all of my life. This friend has inspired me, comforted me, taught me, and challenged me. My friend has been with me through thick and thin. I have gathered with this new friend at high and holy moments and in times of grief and in times of great sorrow. Often my friend and I are together within the midst of a congregation, but sometimes it's just me and my friend driving down the road together. This friend is so faithful that when the moment comes and I am facing my own death, I know my friend will be there bringing me comfort and hope. I hope you know my friend. I think you do. As a matter of fact, I hope you are as close to my friend as I am. My friend is the hymn book of the church, the hymns of the church. One thing I appreciate about my friend is that I don't know whether to call he or her. Sorry, I used he in my notes. But I don't know whether to call my friend I hate to admit that to him, I know really nothing about music. All I know about music is that it moves me closer to God when used correctly. All I know about music was that phrase I was taught at Gooch Elementary School. Most people say every good boy does fine. I was taught every Gooch boy does fine to remind me the notes that are on the treble clef. And of course, my teacher said, remember the word face. That'll remind you of the notes that are in between the lines of the treble clef. And I just sat there and wondered, well, why on earth didn't they just say E, F, G, A, B, C, D? That way you can get all the lines and all the spaces together with choosing the alphabet. But I give thanks for those who know the notes and for those who play the notes. Best of all, my friend expects, but most of all, my friend expects me to allow him to offer praise to God, to use my friend to help express deep prayers, to use my friend to express my mourning and to give me comfort and to give me hope, to teach me the wonderful truths about God. The people of God sing. Oh, there are some voices that fail, and as time gets older, I am getting more and more out of key when I sing, but our hearts still sing the songs. God's people have always sung the hymns. In the Bible, the Israelites sang a song of praise after crossing the Red Sea. Singing was part of the formal worship in both the tabernacle and the temple, and then in the synagogues. The Psalms bear rich testimony to joy and sorrow, in praise and in lament. The faithful raised their voices in song to God. Hymn singing was practiced by our Lord Jesus in evidence when he, with his disciples, as we read in the scripture reading this morning, following the Last Supper, they left singing a hymn together. The text I chose for the sermon is the Apostle Paul's instructions found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Hear the word. With gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you believe the book of Job, there was singing from the very beginning at the act of creation. And in Revelation, we read that every creature will be singing to the Lamb on the throne when he returns. So from the very beginning to the very end, God has given us the gift of song. In our Reformed tradition, we understand that singing is the ministry that belongs to the people. That's, I'm not supposed to use the word guys if I'm from the South, but that's you guys and them back here. And I hope you understand that it is the entire congregation that makes up the choir. It will make up the choir in heaven. The role of the professional or the volunteer musician and the choir is to aid the whole choir, the whole people of God, to sing in their worship. As one theologian recorded, a diet of worship which does not include regular singing and gives ample opportunity for singing for all the members of the congregation to join in song will be a church that is impoverished in its worship, and the life of the church and its faith of its people will suffer. This past Wednesday, November the 1st, was All Saints Day, and it is our custom to remember the saints from our past and throughout history who faithfully passed the faith down to us. And one way this was accomplished was through the songs of the saints. For example, did you know that 107, I think sometimes I miscount things, a whole bunch, but I think about 107 hymns in our hymn book is from the Psalms. Now, these Psalms are really liked by folks like John Calvin, who encouraged us to sing the Psalms. Some of you have asked me, why do we sing so many of the Psalms during the Psalter? Aren't you just supposed to read it back and forth, response? Well, that's not what I was taught. The Psalms are for singing. He would say, don't just read the Psalms. They were written to be sung. And imagine that on Sunday morning, when we sing, for example, Psalm 23, we are singing the faith passed down to us from King David, who lived 3,000 years ago. We use different tunes than what David did. I don't know what verse or meter or what tune he sang Psalm 23 or 2, but all the same, he sang the song and we sing them. For you who like the old hymns, how many of you like the old hymns? The old hymns. Well, I hope you enjoy this Advent. Debbie, I saw on the table out there, Savior of the Nations Come. Is that the cantata this year? You are going to love the cantata this year. Did you know the oldest hymn in our hymn book is Savior of the Nations Come? It was written by Ambrose so many centuries ago, in the 4th century. Ambrose, who put his life on the line confronting the Emperor Theodosius and demanding that he repent of his violent nature. And to everybody's surprise, Theodosius gave in. There was an ad in the paper this past Tuesday written by the Catholic priest of Tyler. Many of you may have read it. And I appreciate so much what he said about the necessity of church unity. Though I raised an eyebrow just a little bit at his solution. But speaking of unity, did you know we have at least one hymn in our hymn book that was written by a pope? We do. Pope Gregory I was a prolific writer who gave much of his life and his wealth to sending out missionaries throughout the known world. He lived in the 6th century, and he wrote the hymn, The Glory of These 40 Days. It's hymn number 165 in the hymn book. It's a Lenten hymn that tells about Jesus' fast and the testing of Moses and Elijah and Daniel and John the Baptist. Yes, there are a lot of hymns in the Bible, one of them written by a pope. On Easter, we often sing Day of Resurrection. It was written by John of Damascus in the 8th century. In the 13th century, we have my all-time favorite, or one of my all-time favorites, that Jennifer almost alluded to. She alluded to St. Francis, All Creatures of Our God and King. I can't remember a day in my life where that was not in my hymn list. All these hymns have a history. They are all written by the saints from times past who lived, suffered, celebrated, and died in the Lord. On Thanksgiving, we always sing. It's just not Thanksgiving if you don't sing, Now Thank We All Our God. Written by Martin Reinkert in 1636. It was written as a table blessing during the 30 Years' War when so many were dying from the plague rather than war. He wrote these words during a turbulent time when each week he was conducting the funeral services for scores of people every week that he loved. And oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us. With ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, keep us in God's grace and guide us when perplexed. He was perplexed. And free us from all ills in this world and the next. This was written during the 30 Years' War, during a time when the plague was killing so many of his friends. Now thank we all our God. Number 853 in the Song of the Saints in our hymn book. Last week, we sang some of the hymns that came out of the Protestant Reformation. Of course, we sang Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress, but I always have to sing that hymn that's at least attributed to John Calvin, I Greet Thee, Who My Sure Redeemer Art. And you will probably never be put in this situation, but if by chance, if you are put in the situation to have to choose the hymns that are sung at my funeral, if you do not choose I Greet Thee, Who My Sure Redeemer Art as one of the hymns, I will come back and haunt you. There are many hymns written during the 1700s, the 1800s, and 1900s. Maybe those are the ones you were thinking of when I asked, do you like the old hymns? Come thou fount of every blessing, great is thy faithfulness, how firm a foundation. I love to tell the story. It is well with my soul. My hope is built on nothing less. How great thou art, and rock of ages. You know the story that goes with this hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? You probably have heard it before. Horatio Spafford, a Presbyterian elder, lost his business in the Chicago Fire of 1881. His son died of scarlet fever. Later, deciding to take a family vacation to England, he sent his family ahead on the ship. He had some business still to take care of, but he would join his family as quickly as possible. There was a shipwreck. His four daughters perished at sea. Only his wife survived. On his way to England to be with his wife, it is said that at the spot in the Atlantic where his daughters perished, the words of the hymn came to him, It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Oh, yes, there is a great faith expressed in the words of the hymns that we sing on Sunday morning. You know John Newton? I don't think we're related. Captain of a slave ship. He tells us about the most unbelievable grace of God, who, when he turned to Christ and found pardon from his sins, he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace and became an abolitionist. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And this so rang true for John Newton and for others that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Did you know the hymn Just As I Am, which is often sung in churches that have altar calls, was written by Charlotte Elliott, who is a member of the Anglican Church, the Episcopal tradition. Charlotte was an invalid most of her life, and maybe that will help us better understand why she wrote, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. There are many modern hymns that we sing. Of course, in our current hymn book, the newest hymns have to at least be 4 years old because it was printed 4 years ago. But as our faith was expressed 3,000 years ago, it is still being expressed in the writing and singing of new hymns. And all our hymns are the songs of the saints, the songs many that our mothers and fathers sang, our grandparents sang them. Some, the Psalms, have been sung by the church for 3,000 years, some for 4 years, some are just now being written, but they express our hope, our love, and our wonder of the love and presence of Almighty God. If I were imprisoned and could only have one book, rest assured, it would be the Bible. But if I couldn't take the Bible with me, I would take my friend, the hymn book. Its songs touches our souls. Its melodies move our spirits. It proclaims what we cannot simply proclaim with words. It teaches theology. It teaches the Bible. It teaches about surviving the struggles of life and expresses the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. I would suggest, if you do not already own one, that you purchase a hymn book. You should not only be in the pews, but the hymn books should be in your homes. It should be used for singing at home, but it should also be studied. For we don't just sing the hymns. I remember that often was the time in my life where I would just sing the words and didn't pay attention to them. Know the words, study the words. Your friend has so much to teach you and me. If there are hymns that are particularly meaningful to you, and we never sing them on Sunday morning, I mean, after all, it says right there in the Book of Order that I get to choose the hymns. And my favorite hymn is, what is it? What's my favorite hymn, Jimmy? Oh, Lord, You Are My God and King. I think we've sung that over 40 times since I've been here. I get to choose. But I am more than willing to get your list of the songs that are meaningful to you, that express your faith, that challenge you, and I will be glad to try to work those in. I will even call you the Sunday before and say, we're singing this hymn that you like so much. Are you going to be there? And if you say no, I'll pick a different one and let you find out when you are. Let me know what the hymns you enjoy singing. But also remember the exhortation from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. They are the songs of the saints. Amen. Will you please stand with me and let us confess what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 34 in the front of the hymn book. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son God, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. And with the elders serving communion, please come forward.
show forth the Lord's death until he comes.
Changing of the heart. Thank you. body of our Lord Jesus Christ is broken. After the same manner, our Lord took the cup, he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which has been poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it all in remembrance." Thank you.
Now may the grace, the mercy, and the peace of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Came back in, it was already cool and off.
What? Thank you. For this